In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Blessed be the feast of the Holy Name, this octave of Christmas, meaning the eighth day. There's something about the eighth day. Mother Church is a good psychologist. She knows that the meaning of a great redemption feast, such as Christmas and other feasts of the year, cannot be absorbed and appreciated in this one celebration. That it often is contemplated for the entire week that follows. And then the eighth day is considered specifically sacred. It's when psychologically and spiritually some of the musings and some of the points absorb, take their synthesis. It often happens in the subconscious level, very spiritual level. The eighth day is often considered a most sacred day. Most baptismal fonts have how many signs? Eight. 7 days of creation and the eighth day of eternity. So this is the octave of Christmas. And we come to the back to the crib on this day to consider our Lord's circumcision and his naming. The feast of the day used to be called the Feast of the Circumcision. And while the theme of today's homily will be that to settle upon the name of our Lord, let me just say a word about the circumcision, because though it seems archaic and even awkward to speak of, it has a very important connection to our theology and how we believe. The job or the mission of our Lord, as we know in the Bible, is to redeem us. And I love the word, I think redemption and redeem is one of the most beautiful words in religious language. What happens when you redeem something? You make it alive. If I redeem a coupon, it does something. If a life, let's say after tragedy or after great mistake, if a life is redeemed, that means it has life again, there's purpose. And so what Jesus, the very mission of Jesus is to redeem his people. And it's more than just a promise of chronological time after we die. Redemption is a quality. Eternal life begins now. So his work of redemption is what took place. And I guess he could have done it in one fell swoop, but he didn't. He chose 33 years of life on this earth to give us redemption. And the final act, of course, was the mystery of the passion, the cross, the death, the resurrection of our Lord. But the work of redemption really incorporated all of his life. We consider birth at Christmas, but the entire season of Epiphany, the season between Christmas and that of Lent, is when we consider his life, his teaching, his conversations, his miracles, the way in which he conducted himself, and with his enemies and his friends. These are ways in which our Lord, this is a key word for Epiphany, manifested himself. We see Epiphany as, oh, that's who it is, of our redemption through his life. And then in Lent and Holy Week and Easter, we contemplate the culmination, the climax of the work of redemption, with the suffering and his cross, his death and resurrection, showing us not even the sting of death, a horrific death on a cross, can hold back the love of God. And that is the story of the resurrection. And so the redemption of our Lord involved blood. I know it seems somewhat gory, but no, in the book of Genesis, we learn that blood represents life. Blood is a holy thing. That's why in Mosaic law, blood was not to be taken advantage of. You would not to kill or shed another person's blood, not to drink even the blood of an animal. A blood is to be reverenced, blood, because it represents life. Today, when we give blood at the Red Cross, one of the most noble, loving things a human being can do is because we give life to someone in need. And so, on the eighth day, we come to the crib, back to the crib, between, and when Jesus still in swaddling clothes, the first drop of his blood in circumcision is shed for humanity. At the end of the cross, the full measure of his blood will flow. And whatever our theology of the cross is, a literal, sacrificial, exemplary, whatever it might be, it involves blood. Because blood represents life. So we sing and we come to appreciation of the blood of Christ. The first drop was his circumcision. The morning offering on the eighth day after his birth. And the end, the full measure. So this, that word is circumcision. And this is also the eighth day after a male child was born. He was given officially the name. course, Jesus was given his name by Gabriel before he was even born. But officially, liturgically, it was given to him on the eighth day. And the Feast of the Holy Name is not amongst the oldest feasts of the church, but the devotional piety from which it stems is as ancient as faith is. From the very beginning, a name represents the essence of a person or a thing. Adam, in the story of the garden, named the animals according to their essence, to their being. And Jewish tradition, the Jewish brothers and sisters, have the highest reverence and respect for the name of God, for Yahweh, I am who I am, because the name signified his very essence. And in Judaism, when to say it, how to say it, was very deliberately thought about. And that reverence finds connection, continuation in Christian theology and the central prayer of our faith, the Our Father. What is the first thing we say? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The name is precious and holy and good. And in Jesus, when the Gabriel said to Mary, you would name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Immediately, his name his very mission and life. Often the Bible name is given by God, Abraham, Sarah, Peter the Rock, and again, of course, Jesus. And so, what is our resolution on the eighth day, this October of Christmas, concerning the name of Jesus? Well, first and foremost, perhaps we make a decision today to honor and caress the name of Jesus in a more special way throughout our life. I remember in seventh grade, Miss Johnston was my teacher. And she didn't like cursing. And the thoughts were called it cussing. And she had a thing about it. She was an English teacher. She often said, it shows a lack of imagination to curse. There's a whole English language out there. Use your imagination. And she was serious. But she had zero tolerance for one curse word. And that was Jesus Christ taken in vain. She said, of all the curses, I never want to hear that. And I never will forget the students saying, why, Miss Johnston? And curious that my learning came from just a public school teacher, not necessarily from a Sunday school teacher in this respect. She said, because Jesus is the most powerful word there is. There's power in that name. And so it stands to reason that when you use it in a swear, it's a powerful swear. But she said, never let me hear it. And never did it go from your lips. I've never forgotten, Miss Johnston. And so, in liturgy and ceremony, what we do, even in the prayers, when we hear Jesus, we give a slight nod of the head, you'll notice. We might appreciate more the conclusion of the Christian prayers, and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Perhaps we'll have a greater appreciation from this day forward for that. I once also knew a woman who found her son dead, his body, in their house. And she said, I've never experienced this devastation in my life. This was many years ago, but she said, I couldn't even pray. I couldn't speak. The only prayer I could offer is the name of Jesus. She just said, Jesus, over and over again. She said, that was sufficient. The most powerful, loving prayer she ever had. So we honor, let us from this point on, never take in vain, but honor and come to love the name of Jesus. And then by extension, the names of other human beings. Because the name is a precious thing. A name speaks to our very essence. I love that sometimes with the little child say, what's your name? Oh, Alan. Oh, Alan. What a beautiful name. And they just smile, they beam. Why? Because it's our very essence. And what is the greatest lie of the devil that has ever been stated in this world? The greatest lie of the devil, the nurse who rhymes sticks and stones may break my bones, but words have never hurt me. Words are powerful. Think of any child who played on being bullied or poked fun at, and people taking their names and twisting it. How powerful that is. May we never do that. May we never take for granted our name, our Lord's name, or the name of anyone else, be it our friend or our enemy. A name is a holy thing. So let us today bask in the name of Jesus. Love the name of Jesus. Bow our heads at the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus as a prayer. And honor and love the names of loved ones and enemies alike in this world. For a name is holy.